Well, before we were singing the praises of the new book, A City That Sings, Cincinnati's Choral Tradition, 1800 to 2012, with the authors of the first two chapters, I now have in the studio the authors of the next two chapters. Author of Chapter 3, Craig Doolin. Welcome, Craig.
Good to be here.
And author of Chapter 4 and editor of the book, Catherine Roma. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Now, as we mentioned in the previous interview, this is a book of the choral history in Cincinnati. Craig, Chapter 3 is entitled Singing Schools, Social Music, and Choral Festivals. Tell us a little bit about that part of Cincinnati's singing tradition.
The very first chorus that we know in Cincinnati was in the year 1800, when the soldiers of Fort Washington presented an opera entitled The Poor Soldier. They played all of the roles, but they did not make up the chorus. Cincinnati had 750 people then, and the chorus for the opera was drawn from among those 750. Quite an achievement. Singing schools developed soon thereafter. These schools were to teach people to be good congregational singers in church, as well as recreational singers wherever they might decide to do that. One interesting thing about that early history is that the first music books published in Cincinnati were about 1815. That's before we really know of an established chorus, but because it was choral music being published, we know there had to be choruses here. Cincinnati's choral history is split into two nationalities, if you will, the English tradition and the German tradition. Prior to the 1830s, every chorus here was of the English tradition. And what I mean by that is these were groups of people who got together to make music. They may have enjoyed each other's company along the way, but the primary reason for getting together was to sing. The German tradition that happens later has a bit different of a focus. These were gatherings that were largely for recreation. They would eat, they would drink, they would have fun. Music was a part of that fun, but it wasn't the only part. And what we see as the history goes on in the 1800s is that this English tradition held sway until about the mid-1830s. And then we start to see German immigrants. These German immigrants came to Cincinnati. They brought their traditions with them. They brought their choruses, they brought their beer, of course, their food, and they settled in one area called Over the Rhine. Well, there was a lot of fun that happened in Over the Rhine, lots of taverns, but there was also wonderful music, and singing societies developed. By 1880, there were over 80 of these. One of the two big dates in the 1800s for choral music in Cincinnati is 1849, when three choruses from Madison, Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky, and from Cincinnati got together, 118 singers. They met, they sang, they shared songs that they had in each of their cities, all of German origin, and they had a great time. They had such a great time that they made a formal organization, the North American Band of Singers, the Nordamerikanischer Sängerbund. That organization is still in existence today. And at times there were thousands of singers. In 1938, at the Sängerfest, there were 6,000 singers. They decided in the late 1860s, 1869, the 1870 Sängerfest was coming up, and they knew that there wasn't a hall big enough in the city to handle this. So they built Exposition Hall, sometimes called Sängerfest Hall, and it stood on the site where Music Hall is today. All this is in the book. I mean, really, it's a very detailed story. But Sängerfest Hall led directly to Music Hall because it had a tin roof. And as we all know, Cincinnati springtime is rather, there are rather plentiful storms and hail at times. And it just happens that during the first two May festivals in the 1870s, in 1873 and 75, the skies opened up and the rain and hail came down. And there was a man sitting in that audience. His name was Reuben Springer. He decided that we needed a more formal hall. And he put forward $125,000 toward the construction of a proper music hall. It was a matching grant. The residents of the city had to come up with a matching amount. And there was more money involved along the way. The price went up, as with any construction project. But there we are. And we still have the hall today, and it's incredible. So that's one tradition that was established. The founding of the May Festival was a collaborative effort in a way. The artistic administration, the conductor Theodore Thomas, and the other artistic directorship of the festival, they were all of German descent, born in Germany. The administrative side was all of English descent. And in fact, the whole idea of this festival came from a 23-year-old woman named Mariah Longworth Storer. She was the granddaughter of Nicholas Longworth, the richest man in Cincinnati. She had married a writer who served as the aide-de-camp of General Sherman on the March to the Sea. He came back and wrote his memoirs, became very famous, and married Mariah. Mariah had the idea to start a festival after she traveled in Britain, and she saw one of the large English festivals. But right here in Cincinnati, the Sängerfest were going on at the same time with these huge choruses. So I think it probably was a bit of inspiration for both sides. But that tradition continues today as well, and it's always involved the board, some of the most important business people in Cincinnati, including John Shillitoe, the man who founded the department store. He was on the first board of the May Festival. And the 20th century, of course, had continuation of all of these traditions and the development of new choruses. For instance, the Vocal Arts Ensemble and choruses that speak out for social causes like Muse and the Cincinnati Men's Chorus. These traditions continue to this day and will continue to grow.
While Craig's chapter focuses on the English and German choral traditions, Kathy, chapter 4, your chapter focuses on a third significant choral tradition in Cincinnati. Your chapter is Cincinnati's African-American choral tradition, 1824 to 2012.
I start really in 1824 because there was lively music beginning to happen in the churches in Cincinnati. Allen Temple AME downtown had a choir that I traced back to 1824. And then soon after that, Union Baptist formed a choir and actually had a singing school in their basement as well to train young singers. Zion Baptist also came along after that. So those are churches that continue to this day to have strong choral traditions and sing a diverse range of choral music. From there, I go into the 20th century, and whereas African-American people in Cincinnati were excluded from a lot of the institutions we've been talking about, the May Festival and the Conservatory and the College of Music, there were very creative individuals that decided to create institutions that were for African-American people. So we see the development in the 1930s of the June Festival, which was, in comparison to the May Festival, an organization of many, many, many singers from the Cincinnati community. And Artie Matthews was the local conductor, very much also like May Festival. There was a local conductor, and then famous conductors from the Harlem Renaissance were brought in. Clarence Cameron White was the first individual from the East Coast that was brought in to do some of that work. Famous names like Paul Robeson and Todd Duncan came as soloists to perform with the June Festival. But probably one of the most interesting things was that in 1921, Artie Matthews came here from St. Louis, and he was a ragtime piano player and very respected, wonderful musician, really great sight reader. And he came here to accept a job at St. Andrew's Episcopal Church in 1918. And then in 1921, he started something called the Cosmopolitan School of Music, which is the first black-owned and operated conservatory or music school in the United States. And many of the people that I interviewed recently within the last year actually attended school there and took classes, whether it was orchestration or voice or organ, piano, all of that was taught there. That existed until the 50s. In the 1980s, something started called the American Negro Spiritual Festival. And this was at Music Hall every March between 1982 and 1998. And this was an opportunity for young singers in colleges and universities in the Midwest and in the South to come to Cincinnati to compete, in a sense. So four choirs were always chosen, and they were awarded $5,000, the winning choir. There were judges composed of many of these classically trained. Then every fifth year, the four winning choirs would come back to Cincinnati to compete yet again. All of these organizations and institutions that were started were really flowered in their own way, and we see institutions continue up until this day. And May Festival welcomed African-American people in 1956, so we see the doors opening and things changing really in the 1960s and the 1970s, where diverse choruses are coming together, diverse people are coming together to create different choruses in the city.
In the previous interview, we mentioned the book signing and release party, but the library is actually putting up a special exhibit based around the book.
It's an exhibit called Queen City of Song. It takes place through September 4th in the Joseph S. Stern Jr. Cincinnati Room up on the third floor. What the exhibit spotlights is information about the Zanger Fest dating back to the origins of the first German choruses in the city in 1838 through the May Festival and the construction of Music Hall. There will also be exhibits over a century of church and school choruses and Cincinnati's African-American choral tradition, as Kathy was just discussing. On view, there will be early choral music and hymnals published in Cincinnati. I think this is going to be a rather interesting exhibit that covers the complete history of choral music in Cincinnati.
I'd like to thank this evening's guests, author Catherine Roma and author Craig Doolin. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here.
Yes, thank you very much for inviting us.
For more information on A City That Sings, Cincinnati's Choral Tradition, 1800 to 2012, please be sure to visit our website at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.